30 years ago, a group of advocates recognized that housing discrimination was causing homelessness in western Massachusetts, so they created the Massachusetts Fair Housing Center. Today, a small group of staffers working for the agency with offices in downtown Holyoke continue to investigate and litigate housing discrimination cases. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill has the next story in our housing series. In the fall of 2016, when Jacob Carter, a graduate student at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, began looking for an apartment for himself, his wife, who was 8 months pregnant, and their two-year-old son, he ran into hurdle after hurdle.
People writing back and saying that nothing was available, people not responding at all, phone calls, you know, to different landlords and different advertisements on Craigslist, and really coming up with no luck at all.
Sensing a pattern in his failure to find an apartment, Carter deleted references to his family from his online searches and started showing up alone to appointments with landlords. At one point, he signed a lease for an apartment in an older house in Northampton, but when he asked if there was any lead paint present, the landlord abruptly told him he could not move in.
Basically, we had to find emergency housing on, say, 24 hours notice. And I just looked up some places on Airbnb to see if there were, you know, overnight rentals that we might be able to find. And we were able to find one pretty quickly, but it was a really hairy, couple of days. We weren't sure what we were doing, where we were going to land.
Eventually, Carter found an apartment. Then, a few years later, when searching for a new place for his now growing family, a landlord told Carter he would not rent to him because he had children. A friend referred Carter to the Massachusetts Fair Housing Center. Discrimination complaints were brought against both landlords. With the cash settlements Carter received, he was able to save for a down payment and purchased a house where he and his wife and their three children now live. Discrimination against families with young children searching for housing makes up a significant number of the more than 1,000 complaints that come into the Fair Housing Center annually, according to Executive Director Maris Bergquist.
And I find it shocking that so many families are denied rental housing, with the only disqualifying factor being the parent of a child under the age of six. In Massachusetts in 2019, it's shocking to me that you can be evicted, you can be a childless couple who gets pregnant and is evicted by their landlord because they will be bringing a child under the age of six into the premises, and we have those cases.
To prevent children from being poisoned by lead-based paint, Massachusetts passed a law in 1971 that required landlords to remove lead paint if a child under age six is living in the apartment. Massachusetts has the fourth largest percentage of housing in the country built before 1978, when lead was banned as an ingredient in paint. But according to state health department records, just 10% of those approximately 1.8 million houses have undergone any type of de-leading.
I think that systemic housing discrimination plays a very significant role in the failure of more properties to have undergone de-leading activity.
Massachusetts has programs to help property owners pay part of the cost of de-leading their buildings, but very few take advantage. Bergquist said the so-called lead law is a failed policy because rather than protect the health of children as it was intended, it incentivizes housing discrimination.
Landlords find it irresistible to avoid renting to these families rather than obeying the Massachusetts lead law.
In November, the Fair Housing Center filed a lawsuit in federal court that's intended to force the state to come up with a non-discriminatory policy to prevent childhood lead poisoning. Of the approximately 1,000 complaints the center receives each year, the highest number are from people with disabilities, according to Bergquist.
There's a shortage of accessible units in our area, really shameful shortage. However, a person who uses a wheelchair, who needs an accessible unit, has the right to ask their landlord either to allow them to install a ramp at their own expense, or in Massachusetts, if the landlord has 10 or more units, they have the right to ask their landlord to install the ramp at the landlord's expense. So larger landlords who have the financial capacity can be required to install a ramp for a tenant in Massachusetts.
There is still racial discrimination in housing. The Springfield Metropolitan Statistical Area, which includes Hamden, Hampshire, and part of Franklin counties, is the most segregated in the country when it comes to Latino housing and is in the top 20% for black housing. Some of the reason for this can be traced back decades to when redlining occurred and restrictive deed covenants were legal. But Berquist said current policies contribute to housing segregation, such as giving preference to existing residents to move into public housing when a vacancy opens up, and zoning laws that don't allow multifamily housing.
When municipalities are not actively trying to undo this segregation, it's keeping it in place and, in effect, perpetuating it.
Discrimination in housing remains one of the causes of homelessness, according to Jerry McCafferty, the housing director for the city of Springfield.
Both in Springfield and nationally, there's data that shows that people of color are more likely to become homeless than white people, and the rates at which they're homeless exceed the amount that should be explained by poverty.
Massachusetts has among the toughest housing discrimination laws in the country, but McCafferty said enforcement can be difficult.
It's a lot of private transactions that are happening, and it's hard to be there at all of them, and it's hard to get people to always understand that it's discrimination and report it. So there's a lot that is illegal, that landlords may even know is illegal, that they're doing because they're able to get away with it.
John Fisher, a landlord and author of the book Property Management Manual for Massachusetts Rental Owners, said many landlords are ignorant of what the housing laws require.
There are a lot of mom and pops out there who don't really think of themselves as being landlords because they only have like one apartment that they're renting. If you're renting even just a small upstairs apartment, you're as much a landlord and as need to as much be in line with the state laws as if you had 1,000 units.
Fisher believes most landlords do not intentionally discriminate.
The level of ignorance with so many landlords, especially the smaller ones, is unfortunately, it's bad for them. And it's also bad for their tenants.
The Fair Housing Center litigates about 20 cases a year, according to Executive Director Bergquist.
Each case in and of itself can establish a new policy that may open doors and end discrimination that applies to more than one person, that may apply to a particular class of people.
Most complaints that the center's investigators determined to be valid are resolved through mediation. That's what happened the both times that Jacob Carter encountered discrimination while hunting for an apartment for his family. Carter is grateful for the work of the Fair Housing Center.
It's a really serious issue that isn't on the radar of a lot of people. But if you think about the kind of security that housing provides and that what it's like to feel safe going to your home and knowing that it's going to be there and knowing that you're going to have a place to stay every night, it seems like such a basic need, and it is.
Reporting from WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau on the campus of Western New England University, I'm Paul Tuthill.